welcome everyone, both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online. Today I want to speak about Paul's encouragement to the church at Corinth from this passage that has been the foundation of our 2020 stewardship campaign. We've been praying, we've been seeking God's direction, and today we make our commitment as we bring our cards to the altar or make our commitment online. I always count it a high privilege to lift up the call to biblical stewardship because I know that the work of God through the church, the body of Christ, is God's plan A. The church, if you're following in your outline, is God's plan A. We are God's plan A, and here's the caveat to that. There is no plan B. There is no plan B. We are it. There is no plan B. We wonder sometimes maybe about God's wisdom in that, but again, God reigns. And though the church is never perfect, and it isn't, and we all understand that, though the church is never perfect, when it is operating by the power of the Holy Spirit, in accordance with Jesus' example and with his teachings, the church of Jesus Christ is the most powerful force for redemptive transformation on the face of the earth. Amen? It is the most powerful force for redemptive transformation on the face of the earth. Amen? I hope that you believe that. I hope that courses through your veins. I hope that you would say there is no institution like it, the church, in what it can do. How does it happen that a human heart gets changed? I'm convinced that human hearts being changed is the way that we solve so many of our problems. But I understand that I can't change a human heart. That has to come from on high. And our simple story is that God sent his Son into the world that through our faith in him, we might experience a changed heart, a transformed heart. I love to reflect on all the ways that God has used his imperfect church and its imperfect members to transform lives, to impact communities, and to change the world. I think that, the world would be astonished to discover for one day the actual influence that the church has in the lives of people around the world for good, if that could happen. Often the church's influence is under the radar. It's not something that's as obvious to see because its primary influence is what's going on in our hearts, what's going on the inside. There is no other entity like it in the world, the church, because there is no other person in all the world like the head of the church, Jesus Christ. Amen? When the Apostle Paul asked the Corinthians to help the mother church of Jerusalem with this offering, he's making an appeal on the foundation of excellence. Excellence. He says in 2 Corinthians 8:7, our text today, just as you, what? Excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for one another, see that you also, what? Excel in the grace of giving. Excel in the grace of giving. I'd like to talk about pursuing excellence in the grace of giving. One of the things I like most about this congregation, though, is that Christ Church has a full-blown commitment to excellence. Whether we're talking about our ministries or our missions, our facilities or our decor, our discipleship or our outreach, there is an underlying principle throughout this congregation of striving for excellence. I love that about you. And today is Commitment Sunday. I simply ask you again, why not excel? Why not continue to excel in everything? Now and in 2020 and in the years to come, why not continue to excel in everything? So as we think about our church and our commitment to its mission and ministry, why not the best? Why not the best in all of these areas? First of all, when it comes to prayer, why not the best? In a baseball game, the score was tied 2-2, two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning. When the batter stepped up to the plate, he made a sign of the cross on home plate with his bat. And Yogi Berra, the infamous catcher for the New York Yankees, called timeout. He called timeout, and he took his glove, and he wiped the plate off, and then he said to the batter, "Why don't we just let God watch this game?" Yogi Bear. Now, if life were just a game, maybe we could let God just watch it. But life is more than a game. It is a real thing. Morning leads to evening, but hearts break and trouble comes. Struggles are a part of people's lives. And because we have nowhere else to go, we are called to be a people of deep, deep prayer. That's what I've been hearing God speak to me. And as I sense, the word for me in 2019 has been deeper. Go deeper. And deeper in prayer has been a part of that calling. Prayer must permeate everything that we do, say, think, every action that we take. It is at the core of who we are as a community of faith. I try to keep up with the news. I try to recognize what's going on. And I see that there are conflicts all over the world. Where can we go with concerns that we read about, things that give us great concern? But to the Lord. When I become aware that children by the thousands are orphaned around this world of ours because of these wars through no fault of their own, my heart is deeply sorrowful. Where can I go? But in prayer to the Lord. Prayer is at the heart of who we are. It must permeate everything that we think, all that we do, and all that we believe. More than anything else, I want us to be known as a praying people. So here's a question. Will you commit yourself to be a praying person, more of a praying person in the months and in the year that is to come? When it comes to prayer, why don't we excel in everything? Why not the best? Secondly, when it comes to worship, why not the best? A mother made her way up the stairs one Sunday morning to wake her son for church. "Get up, it's time to go to church." And her sleepy son pulled the covers over his head and said, "I don't think I'm going to go today." And her mother said, "You are going to church today, and I'm going to give you three good reasons. One, it's good for you. Two, it's habit, we always go. And three, you're the pastor, and you're expected to be there. You got to preach." Now, if worship were just a matter of obligation, I guess there would be days and times when all of us would just forget it. But worship is not obligation. Worship is adoration. It is giving thanks and praise to God Almighty, who is worthy. One of the things I appreciate about Christ Church is our value of excellence in worship. We have this classic worship service. We have a modern worship service on Sundays. We also have, and both of them, here's what I'm amazed at. Both of them are outstanding. We do both of them so, so very well. I hope you realize that. I hope you share with friends about that hey, our worshiping community is one that's has a value of excellence, and we're trying to reach all people for Christ. We also, you know, have worship services on Wednesday nights, on Thursday nights, again with a focus on excellence, so that people will have multiple opportunities to be in worship each week. So here's a question: how are you doing? Over the last year, how has it been? How many times have you been in worship? And I know that I read the statistics, the trends in worship attendance are changing. It used to be that, you know, somebody who was committed in worship would be, you know, there 3 out of 4 times a month. Today, those same people who say, "I'm committed, I'm there, you can count on me, I'm all in," it's often 1 out of 4 times. And why is that? I know why it is. I mean, our culture is changing. There are all kinds of things competing for our time. I understand. So, how many times have you been in worship? 20 times? 30 times? 40, 50 times? Have you been faithful meeting God at the place of worship? When it comes to worship, what kind of commitment are we willing to make? I would say this: why not our best? Paul says you excel in everything. Why not excel in worship? Thirdly, when it comes to giving, why not the best? Someone said money talks. And I guess it does. According to one legend, a $100 bill and a dollar bill got together in a bank, and they were talking with one another. The $100 bill said, "Man, I have had quite a life. It's been wonderful. I've been on cruises. I've been on resorts. I've been to exotic places all around the world. I can tell you, life is exciting and wonderful and a grand adventure. Mr. Dollar, how has life been for you?" And looking droopy in the face, Mr. Dollar says, "Well, for me, it's just been the same old thing. Church, 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 church." Now, I'm not knocking dollars in church. Jesus said the widow's mite sometimes amounted to more than all the other gifts by way of what it meant. I do want to tell you today, though, that there is a difference between a tip and a tithe. If you and I have not learned to give to the level of hilarious generosity, which Paul refers to in this passage in Corinthians, we are missing one of the greatest opportunities and joys in life. Don't give until it hurts. Give until you feel good. That is the joyful level of giving. We've missed one of the greatest privileges in life if we've not learned the joy, the wonderful joy of sharing and giving to other people. So I plead with all of us today, let's continue to learn to excel in all things, learn the privilege of joyful generosity. Your financial response today is more critical than ever before. And do you know why? Because we are going to write the budget based on what you have to say. Let me say that again. We are going to write the 2020 operating budget of this church based on what you have to say today. What you do, what do we want in ministries for the next year? Your estimate becomes absolutely critical to the finance committee and the process of putting that budget together. I can tell you that we need $1.4 million to hold our own. But we would like to take some new initiatives in ministry, as well as to keep our wonderful staff and all of those who are helping strong. So what seems important today is this idea of joyful generosity and just responding to God in faith. So here's a question: how far are you and I willing to go in our giving? It's just that simple. The question again: when it comes to giving, why not continue to excel? Why not the best? Fourth, when it comes to service, why not the best? So according to Peters and Waterman in their book, In Search of Excellence, Lessons from America's Best Run Companies, there's a common characteristic of great companies in this country. The common thread that holds all of them together is a radical commitment to service, to serving customers, serving people. If service is good for business, how much more is it appropriate and right for the church to do? Excel in serving. Excel in outreach beyond ourselves. Why not continue to excel in service? I am so pleased about all the ways that you serve God and others. So 3 weeks ago, we were, remember, celebrating 65 years of ministry, and we had a time when we celebrated all of the ministry groups throughout our church. Remember that? We had people standing up in groups all over the place, and people were cheering about their group over there, and some of them were all together and some of them were spread out, and people were up and they were down and all over the place. And it was almost like a pep rally. And I thought, man, I love it. I love all of these ways that we are celebrating our service in our community and beyond. With God's help and our vision of being a good Samaritan church that tries to help people when we find them in need has been pretty remarkable all these years. And we're asking God to stir up our Holy Spirit-inspired missional imagination to help us continue to answer the question, what would Jesus do? And the follow-up question, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? When it comes to service, I say, why not continue to excel? Why not the best? On June 2nd, 1995, U.S. Air Force Captain Scott O'Grady was shot down over Bosnia. For the next 6 days, he managed to escape capture, subsisting on a diet of leaves and insects and grass. And in a miraculous recovery, Marines arrived with a helicopter and rescued him. And Scott O'Grady, talking about that experience later, said, in those 6 days, my priorities in life were slapped into line. And I know now in reality, only three things really matter in my life. One, he said, my faith in God. Two, my family and my friends. And three, my health. Everything else, he said, is negotiable. My friends, today, as you excel in everything, as you hear God's call, as his child, to continue to excel in everything, let me ask you this question. Are you and I excelling in the things that really matter? Would you, in this moment of worship, face to face with God, make a faithful response for his honor and glory? And remember this, as we excel in everything, let us excel in the things that really matter, because we serve a Savior who has excelled for us.